C, which is the 2013 legislative proposal approvals. This is, again, under decision by the commission. Director Anderson, and are you going to lead us through this?
Thanks, Mr. Vice Chair. Ann Larson will lead the discussion here.
Okay, thank you. Ann?
Good morning, Commissioners. This is Ann Larson, Legislative Liaison. Today, 2 weeks ago, you actually heard the 2013 legislative proposals. What we're asking is for your approval for those to move forward. Just wanted to give dates again. By September 5th, I do need to have proposals without a fiscal impact to the Office of Financial Management, and then also, if they have a fiscal impact, then I need to get those done by September 21st off to OFM and the governor's office. So what I was going to do is just briefly go over the six proposals that you heard 2 weeks ago and allow you to ask questions after each proposal. So the first one we have is the wolf conflict management. Just to recap, what it does is it classifies wolves as a big game species, and that would add a criminal wildlife penalty of $4,000. It also would establish an independent non-appropriate account for livestock losses where those unspent funds would roll over. Those funds that we're looking at are going to be about $50,000 per year. Half of that is coming from the criminalized license plate, and the other half is coming from the non-restricted portion of the wildlife account. We would also create a wolf background plate to fund wolf management, and the focus of these management activities would be on non-lethal strategies. The initial fee for the plate would be $40, and the renewal would be $30. And then what we're looking at is sales would raise approximately $100,000 per year.
What is your that's a really good idea.
And I'm getting a little bit of feedback off of someone's phone.
Yeah, and there's feedback coming from everybody.
This is Chuck Perry. I thought it might work from where I'm at, but if it's causing interference again, I'll sign off.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Chuck. Yeah. Ann, would you please?
So are there any questions on the wolf conflict management plan?
Mr. Vice Chair, Commissioner Schmitten.
Yeah, Commissioner Schmitten.
And I do have a question, and I like this, by the way, very much. When I reread it last night, I noticed that in the funding, if you go to the solution section of the new one-page document that you have, that, you know, everything talks about wolves, and suddenly the funding source is for management of wolves and large carnivores. That's from the license plate. You know, that we can expect someday probably having to deal with grizzly bears. Is that going to be enough funds for wolves and other large carnivores?
Well, as of right now, we had $50,000 appropriated last year by the legislature, and we did not use all of those funds. They are going back into the account, so they're not going to roll over. As far as if that's enough, because we have not spent all those monies, I guess it's enough maybe now, but in the future, there may be some need to have more monies come out of that. And just for reference to the wolf background plate, is being done in such a way that there is flexibility, so some of those monies could possibly be used for carnivore livestock depredation as well.
Sounds good to me. Thank you.
Okay.
Further questions? Okay, proceed, Ann.
The second proposal has to deal with citizen science. What it would do, again, is increase the cost of the personalized license plate by $10 to fund our citizen science program. What we're looking at is sales generating approximately $800,000 per year. Once we've got the funding structure in place and we'd enlist volunteers from the over 2 million Washington residents that engage in wildlife watching activities using new technologies such as smartphones. And then overall, the benefit is to offer our Washington residents to provide us scientific data, but also to connect Washingtonians with the great outdoors. Are there any questions on this proposal?
Hi, this is Commissioner Jennings.
Commissioner Jennings.
So there's been a little bit of email traffic around this one from me. You know, as I understand what we're talking about at a sort of high level and where we're going, I think a lot of how we're going to be interacting with all of our wildlife watching community is through the internet, through web, through mobile apps where people can report observations. And when I look at the proposal as written, it's very heavily focused on the science side of it and not as much on the citizen side for where I sit philosophically on where we want to move forward with citizen science. So, you know, I think FAST's done their best to address my concerns about flexibility on funding and, you know, how to, and this is a nice step forward. Let's recognize that we are having the watchful wildlife folks who are buying that license plate and now paying $10 a year more are the people funding it. So really, let's make sure that the focus of what we're doing is meeting their needs and helping them relate better to our department and have them recognize the value that we bring to their experience so that we're building that strong stakeholder support group into the future.
Thank you, Commissioner Jennings. Any other comments? Now proceed, Ann.
Okay. So our third proposal has to deal with hunter education. And to recap, what it would do is it would require all hunter education students to be at least 8 years of age. It would require hunters between the age of 8 and 14 be accompanied by an adult. What these age restrictions would do, they would increase the safety of hunters and non-hunters alike. There's also a funding portion of this. It would establish a course of up to $25 to deter students from registering for more than one class and also enable more students to attend the classes. It would establish a $10 fee for issuing duplicate certificates. And then what these fees would do is help deter students from registering for more than one class and also no-showing. Funding would help volunteer instructors cover the costs such as purchasing equipment, teaching aids, and rental spaces. Are there any questions on this proposal?
Commissioner Jennings, just a comment.
Commissioner Jennings?
I think the concept of people having to pay a small amount actually makes them appreciate what they're getting more. So I'm in support of this.
Other comments?
Mr. Vice Chair?
Yes, Commissioner Kenning?
Yeah, I'm also in support of this. I was just curious. Did we get any pushback from hunting organizations about the 8 to 14 requiring supervision? I know 8 seems very reasonable. I was wondering if on the upper end we heard any pushback from any hunting organizations that might have thought that was a little bit too restrictive.
Commissioner Keeney, this is Phil. We have not gotten any pushback on this yet. I say yet because I think the whole age, whether 8's the right age, whether 14's the right age or not, it will be debated during the legislative process, and there will be people that come forward with different perspectives. But at this point in time, we haven't received any pushback or we really haven't received any comments from the hunting community that I'm aware of.
Okay, thank you.
Ann or Director Anderson, is there, how do they define supervision for the 8 to 14 group? Is there a distance relationship that has to be maintained or
the language is that they must be accompanied by, so there isn't a specific distance identified in the statute. I think, again, that's going to be a matter of officer discretion as to whether or not the person accompanying the individual that's under the age of 14 is supervised, in a position to supervise the activity and oversee it and ensure that the activity of that individual is done in a safe manner.
I can actually read the language if you'd like and how it's listed in the Z-Draft bill. It says, for the purpose of this subsection, accompanied means to go along with another person while staying within range of another person that permits continual unaided visual and auditory communication.
Okay, thank you. Further questions? Okay, proceed, Ann.
Okay. Our fourth proposal, if you recall, is regarding license revocations, and what this is coming as at the governor's recommendation. for us to work with Social and Health Services to come up with a solution. The proposal, what it would do, would reduce the lifetime license suspension to a temporary suspension if these are based on child support license violations. And how this works is in the second degree violation, it would be a 2-year privilege suspension. If it was a first degree violation, it would be a 4-year privilege suspension. And the benefit of this is the proposal would provide an incentive for parents to fulfill their child support obligations and then allow them to regain their hunting and fishing privileges. Are there any questions on this proposal? Hearing none, should I move on to background checks?
Yes, please, Ann.
Okay. Background check proposal, we do not have finalized language right now. It is currently being reviewed, and we're hoping to have some language possibly next week, early next week. But again, we are taking in the comments that came in 2 weeks ago and trying to incorporate those into the new proposal. I think the possibility is we may have another conference call scheduled.
This is Bill. At the end of this agenda item, let's talk about next steps. I know that both this one, in terms of tightening up the different types of positions within the agency that would be subject to a background check, is an issue that Commissioner Jennings brought up that we took seriously, that we're working on tightening that up. We haven't completed that conversation yet, and so when Mr. Vice Chair, when we get to the end of the agenda item, if there are, and there may be a couple of these that you'll want a little bit more, well, to get something more definitive in front of you before making a decision, and we may want to talk about having one more conference call specific to those two items, this one and the next one.
Thank you, Director Anderson. Okay. Proceed, Ann.
So the idea of this proposal was to authorize background checks for employees or volunteers engaged in activities such as supervising children under the age of 16, individuals that are developmentally disabled or are vulnerable adults. Another one would be having access to our sensitive IT data, and then folks that are issued firearms to perform their work duties. The idea of the proposal would to ensure public safety and minimize risk of liability. The sixth and final proposal has to deal with invasive species management. Again, this proposal is in draft language and is still under review of the programs. What it would do, the current thinking, is to consolidate the aquatic invasive species into a single Title 77 chapter. It would also enhance invasive species classification systems to increase flexibility of response and risk management capacity. It enhances existing authorities for mandatory AIS check stations. And then what it would do is provide explicit authority to request state emergency declaration and implement emergency measures when AIS pose imminent risk. Now, again, I don't think you've seen language for this, but it's also being reviewed, and we're hoping to have something early next week. Are there any questions?
Hi, this is Commissioner Jennings.
Commissioner Jennings.
Thank you, and I do think it's important for us to see final language before we approve it. A couple of questions I still have sort of around that background check is, how do we select this? So the first two categories make total sense, or, you know, firearms and, you know, access to small children or disabled individuals. What about our fiscal staff? You know, when I look in the paper, a lot of the private sector and even public sector and nonprofit crimes are related to inappropriate use of funds. Why were they considered or not considered? Another category, if we're going to be looking at this, is HR folks. They get access to a whole lot of sensitive information about individuals. If we're running background checks, do we want to consider including some of them in the background check pool? And a sort of a larger question is, how many other state agencies have legislation like this in place? Are we trendsetting? Are we catching up? Where are we in the overall scheme of things in Washington state government with background checks as a general standing for employees?
Mr. Vice Chair, Commissioner Jennings, let me ask Chief Bjork to speak to some of the questions and points that you made.
Good morning, Mr. Vice Chair, members of the Commission. Bruce Bjork speaking. There are several other state agencies that have background check authority. Probably the two primary ones are State Park and DSHS. DSHS have specific statutory authority to conduct background checks. Most of those background checks, as you stated, Commissioner Jennings, are surrounding the sexual exploitation of children and vulnerable adults piece. As far as a statewide issue, certainly within the HR community, this has been brought up as a statewide issue for potentially all agencies, but there's not been legislation that's moved forward in that area on a statewide basis.
So that's part of my discomfort with this, is it seems like not only are we sort of pushing the envelope on the subject, but we haven't really heard about it as a commission, which is, and that's a fairly big policy shift for us until, you know, right before we got briefed on this and there's questions. So, you know, I'm just thinking that for this piece of legislation, unless you just want to move through with those first two components, the firearms and the vulnerable individuals piece, you know, what's our hurry? Why don't we just take a little bit more time, get consensus, and then have a bill ready for next session? On the invasive species point, again, I'm assuming I'm really going to like where we're going with it. There's been enough controversy around the eelgrass question that I think it's just important for us to look at that language before we approve it and move it forward.
Any further questions or discussion? Director Anderson, did you want to talk about next steps at this time?
Yes, thanks, Mr. Vice Chair. As Commissioner Jennings said, I was anticipating, and appropriately so, the Commission's desire to have a look at final language. And as Ann Larson pointed out, we've got some time constraints here. So I guess the question is, if these last two items, background checks and aquatic invasive species pieces, are if there's an interest from the Commission in us trying to address the concerns that have been raised and bring those forward, we would need to either the only way I can think of is to have another conference call scheduled to just address those two items. And in talking with Tammy Lininger here a few minutes ago, you know, obviously the Commission can do that by calling a special conference call meeting. Looking at the timeline, the time frame, next Friday, August 24th, pushing it a little bit in terms of us having something in talking with Ann. And so that pushes it to August 31st. So it seems to me that first decision is, do you want us to continue on these last two items? And if so, are you willing to allow us to do the additional work and then have a conference call that's specific to these on August 31st?
Vice Chair Duvia, Commissioner Jennings.
Yes, Commissioner Jennings.
From your perspective, what is a time sensitivity need or driver for the invasive species legislation? Is what do we risk if we don't push it forward this legislative session?
Well, Commissioner Jennings, there are some additional enforcement tools that are as Ann read through the specific pieces that are part of this legislation that would put us in a position to respond in the event that we had an invasive species outbreak or we had something that would cause us to take some emergency action that we currently don't have. I think that's the one in my mind that is probably the most important from a time perspective.
Thank you.
Mr. Vice Chair, Commissioner Smitten.
Commissioner Smitten.
I'm interested in both of these. I see, especially in the background check, we need to see the language, and perhaps that will even be modified. But, you know, I could see a potential serious consequence for the public and perhaps even the agency for not managing under this type of authority, and I think we need to look carefully at it. The invasive species, again, I'd just like to see the language. On the background check, it would be helpful if the summary of positions, you know, if we had some sense, because all of them were pending, of what others are saying about this, others meaning other state agencies and Fish and Wildlife Officers Guild, et cetera. So that would be helpful. But overall, I'd like to see that they come back, and I would be prepared to, if I'm here, attend another phone conference to finalize what we want to do with these.
Thank you. Commissioner Smitten.
This is Commissioner Carpenter. I would support what Commissioner Smitten just articulated.
Thank you, Commissioner Carpenter. Other comments?
Commissioner Jennings, I'll be available for another conference call if you need one.
Commissioner Wecker would also support follow-up conference call on the 31st.
Okay. I think we should be in the decision item. We should then make a motion that we will adjourn this and have a conference call to follow it up on the 31st.
Vice Chair Duvia, Commissioner Jennings.
Yes.
I think maybe what we want to do is have a motion that supports all the other legislative proposals, so those we're giving clear direction for those to move forward and just not include those last two.
Okay. Would you like to outline that motion for us, Commissioner Jennings?
I'll be doing it without any draft language in front of me, so if I need to correct it, please let me know. I'd like to make a motion that we move forward on supporting or authorizing the submittal of the proposals associated with wolves, citizen science, hunter education fees, and a license revocation.
I second that.
Seconded by Commissioner Mankin. Any discussion? Do I hear all in favor of the motion that's described and proposed by Commissioner Jennings? Please say aye.
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 Those opposed, say nay. Motion carries. Thank you.
Mr. Vice Chair, Commissioner Smitten?
Yeah. Yes.
Could we now say that it is the intent of the commission to meet on the 21st to review the background check and invasive species legislative proposals?
Yes, I think that's appropriate, but I think it's the 31st. That was the proposal.
Yes.
Director Anderson, is that the right date for the staff?
Yes. Thanks, Mr. Vice Chair. Commissioner Smitten, yes, that's correct. It's Friday, August 31st is my recommendation for all that would have these two items, and it would be, again, a special meeting that Tammy would set up for us.
Okay. I don't know if we need a formal motion, but let's tentatively plan, subject to the staff being prepared on August 31st, to continue the discussion on the remaining items in a conference call that will be held on August 31st. Everybody in favor of that, say aye.
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 Oppose? Say nay. Okay, thank you very much.
Mr. Vice Chair, I'm sorry to be picky, but just to ensure that I understood that last action, so the action was to direct your executive assistant to set up a special meeting of the commission on August 31st to review the two outstanding legislative agency request legislative matters. Is that correct?
That's correct. That conference call might also include other items, but it certainly will address those.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
And it's understood that we would have the language in front of us as well.
Right.
And just to confirm, this is Commissioner Carbonell, we are talking about a conference call, not a meeting. Am I correct on that?
Correct. Conference call. Any other questions?